Welcome to Brie. I'm Mia.
And I'm Milo.
Today we start with a tight EU privacy vote and a gaming layoff with big implications. Then move to a talent puzzle across two major economies, plus privacy and tracking stories on the road and in your OS.
And the vote in Brussels came down to a single seat. Let's get into it.
Laublu. Synets. Lip. Linglu. Committee in the European Parliament just passed a reworded upload moderation proposal by the razor-thin margin of 17 to 16, with 7 abstentions.
This is the fight often called chat control, and the narrowness matters because the language still directs providers to scan private messages, text, voice, and video before they would be encrypted.
Critics treat that as a fatal weakening of end-to-end encryption. And the whole battle now moves to a plenary vote, where a similar split is completely possible.
A different kind of consolidation pressure is hitting games. Microsoft laid off the dedicated iTAC engine team at iTAC Software.
That engine is the proprietary core under Doom, so losing the in-house maintainers raises an open question about the future of an upcoming title like Doom: The Dark Ages.
Right. We don't have headcount or a timeline beyond the parent report, but the signal is whether this is a one-team cut or a sign of broader engine consolidation under Microsoft.
Now, two economies that both worry about hanging on to the talent they recruit.
Separate reports pick up a pattern. Top researchers are choosing to leave the United States for positions in the Netherlands, and Germany gets skilled workers to arrive, only to watch a meaningful number of them leave again shortly after.
The evidence we have stops at the headlines, so we don't have firm reasons behind either trend.
But it is striking to see the two stories surface as a parallel brain drain signal rather than an isolated data point.
Another change is coming inside the car. From July 2026, every new vehicle type sold in the EU must include a driver-facing camera that detects distraction and drowsiness.
And the text of the regulation says the data must stay on board, with continuous recording and off-vehicle transmission prohibited by default.
That prohibition is the line between a safety system and a surveillance feed, which is why enforcement details are still under discussion now, even before the hardware rollout begins.
Staying with ambient tracking, there is a piece of information coming out of a Hacker News discussion about a feature inside Windows.
The name that keeps surfacing is the Windows Device 499, a hardware-linked identifier Microsoft can use to track activity across apps and sites without a cookie or an explicit account sign-in.
We should be careful because the original source article behind the thread is unavailable, so we cannot independently verify the technical details or Microsoft's current handling of that identifier.
The concern, if accurate, is that it becomes a tracker built into the operating system that remains even after someone clears all their cookies.
One response to that tracking worry is to push more tools entirely onto the local machine. And that's where a new desktop client called Roboat comes in.
Roboat is pitched as an open-source, local-first alternative to Claude Desktop, meaning the core chat processing stays on your hardware without streaming prompts to a cloud service.
Feature parity is unknown from this source alone, but the direction is clear. It is one of the growing number of projects betting that users want AI chat without the attached telemetry.
That same local-first instinct is showing up in voice synthesis with a model called Kokoro.
The pitch is high-quality text-to-speech that runs on an ordinary CPU. No GPU required.
The story we have right now is just a Hacker News headline, so we have no benchmark numbers, languages, or voice cloning details to back the performance claim.
But the reason it's worth flagging is that it sits at the intersection of two demands: realistic voice output, and zero cloud dependency. And that combination is what lowers the hardware barrier significantly if the model actually delivers.
One more trade-off story, this time from the database side. Two separate posts surfaced around Postgres infrastructure costs.
The first is about a team that built yet another Postgres connection pooler, pointing at gaps in existing tools, though the concrete features didn't survive in the items we have.
The second is a systematic benchmark measuring Postgres care performance and cost across 23 EC2 instance types.
The thread connecting them is simple. Engineering teams are no longer just accepting the default setup. They are actively swapping poolers and instance types to control both responsiveness and the monthly cloud bill.
From database tuning, we shift to a high-stakes courtroom decision in Beijing.
A former deputy head of China's banking and insurance regulator was sentenced to death for taking over $325 million in bribes, roughly 2.3 billion yuan.
He abused his oversight of banks, trusts, and leasing firms to hand out favors for cash. You want to repeat my firm right now?
The sentence includes a 2-year reprieve, which under Chinese law usually gets commuted to life in prison if he stays clean during that window.
So the maximum penalty was on the table, but the legal path to a life sentence is built right into the ruling.
It tests how Beijing applies its anti-corruption campaign when the amounts are this big and the official was this senior.
Now, a finding from a recent internet outage in Amsterdam that exposed where Europe's biggest companies actually keep their web plumbing.
After the AMS9 exchange went down, a researcher checked the top 500 European company websites.
The snapshot showed 70% use authoritative DNS servers in the United States, and 74% use US-based web hosting IPs.
That means even a site hosted on a local European IP often resolves through an American control plane run by Cloudflare, AWS, Google, or Microsoft.
A single transatlantic dependency is the takeaway. A localized infrastructure hiccup can cascade because DNS still crosses the ocean.
It sharpens the question of digital sovereignty without any policy forecast, just a clear structural map.
Another thread now, inside the world of high-performance array languages.
A new open-source runtime called L aims to modernize how K and Q run outside of finance.
The whole picture is thin because the linked source article was inaccessible, so we only have the Hacker News post title to go on.
Still worth noting, K and Q are known for lightning-fast time series and vector work inside banks and trading desks.
A fresh runtime telegraphs an attempt to pull those tools into broader computing spaces, but the viability is unproven without more detail.
Shifting to retail, a persistent tension inside the world's biggest marketplace.
Amazon and the knockoff problem. The story's original article is unavailable, but the core challenge is familiar.
Even with automated checks and a brand registry, counterfeit listings keep slipping through, whether luxury bags or everyday batteries.
Right. The reactive nature of current filtering leaves consumers guessing, and the trust erosion that follows is concrete.
People may eventually route more purchases directly to a brand's own site.
On a different shelf, a curated reading list for anyone trying to climb the machine learning ladder.
The site, 30papers.com, distills Ilya Sutskever's 30 essential 1,050 papers into a beginner-friendly format.
The details beyond that ordering are thin, but the usefulness is right in the title, a prominent researcher's vetted stack translated for newcomers.
So if you want an on-ramp to the literature, the list now has a clearer front door.
Staying on the tooling side, but moving to macOS development.
A ShowHN submission called David puts a graphical interface on Apple containers for Xcode.
Those containers sandbox build environments, and normally you manage them through the xcron command line.
Dalvi is an attempt to make that visible and clickable. The source article is down, so we don't have community feedback yet.
The idea itself is clear. Lower the barrier for developers who find terminal-based container management opaque.
From software plumbing to physical homes, a newly surfaced map aggregates federal properties available below $100,000.
These are homes acquired through foreclosures on federally insured mortgages, sold by agencies like HUD and the VA to recover losses.
The map pulls listings from several government disposal programs into one searchable view, which is the practical advance here.
The full article is inaccessible, so we don't have current listing counts or methodology beyond that.
Still, the headline signal fits. Deeply discounted homes consolidated in a single geographic tool for buyers willing to handle rehab and program rules.
Last item, more of a reflection than a news break.
A blog post called Automating AI Away surfaces a tension we keep bumping into.
The original text is unavailable, but the summary is that the loud focus on artificial general intelligence drowns out the quieter, routine automation already eating into jobs.
So the worry is that the sci-fi headline grabs attention while real workplace shifts slide by unexamined.
It is one opinion, not a data set, but it names an active blind spot in how we talk about AI and labor.
Worth holding up alongside the bigger tech promises.
Another single source find, but this one has a clear mechanic. It is an Android app called Street Complete.
Right. It turns fixing open street map into tiny micro quests.
You walk up to a spot and the app asks a simple yes or no question about what is physically there. Or it asks for a photo.
So no map editing skills needed. It uses your GPS to stop drive-by guesses.
Exactly. The hook is that it gamifies the process. It awards a point, called a finding, for each answer.
It addresses a real open street map problem. Complex editing tools scare off new volunteers. This just asks, is this bench still here?
Sticking with software, but jumping back in time, there is a new browser for Mac OS 9.
MacSurf 1.68. It ports the NetSurf browser to classic Mac OS.
NetSurf is that small, open-source browser with its own layout engine, not WebKit or Gecko.
And the point here is, it gives the retro computing crowd a modern-ish option. The original browsers on OS 9 are now largely a dead end for loading current sites.
Now, a quick flag on something we cannot fully verify.
A Hacker News post pointed to Jim's TrueType QR code font.
The idea is clever. Install a TrueType font, and then any text you type becomes a functional QR code in any app that uses system fonts. No image generator needed.
But the problem is the original source article was totally unavailable. We have no technical details, no error correction limits, just the headline.
So treat this as an interesting what if from a broken link, not a confirmed working tool.
I saw a claim circulating that stuck with me. It was called The Revenge of the Philosophy Majors.
The reported sentiment is that as AI automates routine coding, employers start valuing the skills philosophy majors train. Structured reasoning, ethics, argument analysis.
The original article was also unavailable here, so this is reported sentiment from a single discussion thread, not a hiring study.
Still, if the perception holds, it would flip the STEM above all narrative on its head for certain technical roles.
I suspect you have a broken drawstring somewhere.
I plead the fifth. But I did see a high engagement video on a specific sliding knot, also called a cord lock knot.
The key mistake most people make is wrapping the loose end around only one strand.
The fix. Make a loop. Wrap the loose end around both strands two or three times, and pass the end back through the loop before tightening.
That knot slides freely to cinch, holds under tension, but pulls apart easily when you tug the ends. No jamming.
One last quick math gut check. A process that is 98% reliable sounds almost perfect.
But the original piece points out that if you do a 98% daily action just once a day, you get roughly 7 failures a year.
And if you do it 5 times a day, 98% means roughly 36 failures a year. More than one every 10 days.
The takeaway is just frequency. A 2% per event failure rate compounds fast. High percentage does not mean rare when you repeat it constantly.
That is the math that closes us out. If a short knot or a broken percentage sticks with you, share the show with someone who will hate it.
I am Milo, and Mia is right here. Talk soon.